Well, amen. Good morning. We'll be continuing our study in the pastoral epistles this morning. We finished 1 Timothy. Now we're beginning in 2 Timothy, so we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. Timothy is being encouraged by Paul in these messages. They're personal messages to Timothy, and he wants to be an encouragement. He also wants to help him realize some of the things he'll be facing while he's taking over the church at Ephesus. And we find Paul once again in prison. He was in prison, he got out, and now he's back in prison once again. And our outline says that we have three main points here. Paul's going to make some personal remarks and prayerful remembrances of Paul, of himself. Then spiritual responsibilities and ministry for Timothy. And then he wants to talk to Timothy about some circumstantial relationships and realities of mutual acquaintances. So let's get right into it. If you have your place, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, just a few verses to start. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul's getting started here, and he says, I want to remember some things. And he starts off by telling Timothy and those that will read this personal letter about his authority. Where does it come from? It comes from God. He says, by the will of God. There are other verses. If we were to go back to 1 Timothy, we'd see that he was commanded to preach the gospel. Then he was appointed in another verse. So it's clear that he is preaching and teaching under the authority of God. And then the second part of that second verse there says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. He greets Timothy, and he tells him in the previous verse there, he wants for him grace, mercy, and peace. And we talked about in 1 Timothy that word mercy is put in these three pastoral epistles, and they're not in any of the other greetings that Paul uses in all his other books. Mercy, that's God not giving us what we deserve, not giving us judgment and condemnation, but giving us mercy. We need to be thankful for God's mercy. And Paul says, hey, I'm thankful for God's mercy. Everyone needs it. Then he talks about his affection for Timothy. He said, my beloved son. Timothy is very special to him. He's been with him a number of years. He was with him there in Ephesus for 3 years. And then at some other places, he was also with him. So he's special to him. He says, my dearly beloved son. And he is supposed to mentor Timothy, and he does a great job of it. There's nowhere, I don't think, in history that says that he was grooming him to take over after he left, but you would have to suspect with the relationship that they had that he saw in Timothy someone who could carry on the work that he had started, carry on the ministry to the Gentiles that he had started. So Timothy's very special to him. And then he talks about some prayerful remembrances. Look back at verse 3 there. He said, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, every day. You know, he starts off by praising God. He thanks God. And then he says, you know what? Timothy, I pray for you every day. It says, without ceasing. We've talked about that without ceasing before. But Timothy was on Paul's prayer list. How exciting that must have been for Timothy to know that the Apostle Paul, his mentor, the one who he looked up to, the one who was teaching him, prayed for him every day. You know, we should pray for our pastor without ceasing. I hope we have a prayer list. You know, when you get our age, and most of y'all are older than I am, I just want you to know that, but like Ron, but when we get to that age, we have problems remembering things sometimes, you know? Thoughts get away from us. What's the old saying? That thought came by and I grabbed it while I could remember it. Having a prayer list is a way of remembering things that we would normally forget. That's also why when the Holy Spirit convicts us of some sin in our life, we need to confess it right then, immediately. Don't wait till the end of the day when we're going to sit down and go over our day and see how we did. Because why? Most of the time we'll forget a lot of things. So he's telling Timothy, he said, you're important enough to me that I'm praying for you without ceasing every day. And then he talks about serving God from his forefathers. And you say, wait a minute. What about when he was persecuting Christians? What about when he was out there consenting to the death of some of them, putting them in prison? Have to understand where he came from. He was Jewish. He had been taught the Mosaic Law. He'd been taught by Gamaliel. So he was brought up with scriptures. But what he did back then, he thought he was doing the right thing. He was just following through with what he was supposed to be doing. These new Christians bringing this blasphemy in here. But the moment that he met the Lord, he not only was blinded in his eyes and got to have his eyes opened, but his spiritual eyes were opened also. And he realized that what he had done in the past was wrong. He confessed it. You know, from that moment on, he served God with a pure conscience. That's what he's talking about right there. And so, he's a prayerful man. He's telling Timothy, you need to be prayerful. You need to understand the things that you're going to deal with and face might sometimes cause you to slip away, to be caught up in the culture, the social things of that time. Don't let that happen, Timothy. I'm praying for you. You need to serve God with a pure conscience also. That's basically what he's telling him right there. And then he has a plan for Timothy. Look at verse 4. He said, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Greatly desiring to see you. He wants Timothy to come see him. Why? Because he's in prison the second time and it doesn't look well. He's pretty sure he's not going to get away and get out of prison this time. And he wants to see Timothy one more time. Why? Because he loves him. Because they're that close. He said, if you'll come, Timothy, that'll bring me great joy. And that's what I need. He needed encouragement, and he knew where he could get it from. Being mindful of his tears, he's talking about Timothy. I'm sure when Timothy found out that he was back in prison and he found out what the fate was going to be, there were tears for Paul. And Paul says, I understand that, but I need you to come see me and bring joy to me. And then in verse 5, I like this. Look back at verse 5 there. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and then mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You know, thankfully, Timothy was not like Paul. Timothy was brought up in a Christian atmosphere with Christian parents. Christian mother and grandmother. His father was a Jew. We don't really have any information as to what his belief was or where he stood with the Lord. But he said, he's telling them, I'm persuaded. He said, I understand that you have that genuine love for the Lord, and you got it from your mother and your grandmother. And that's a great reminder to us as grandparents, parents. It's not too late to have an influence over our children and grandchildren. Don't just cut off the line there after they're gone or after they're out of the house. We can still be a great blessing to them. They need that. We need to be that blessing. We don't need to stop doing what God's called us to do. We don't need to stop loving our kids and grandkids. They still need guidance. Now, they don't think they do, but they do. I was doing something not long ago, and my daughter was telling me something that I needed to be doing. She's one of these nurse practitioners, you know. And she's telling me, Dad, you need to be doing this. And I thought, you know, turned all around, hadn't it? I've always told her this is what you need to do. She would come to me for her guidance. And even when she was an adult, when she wanted something, she would come sit in her daddy's lap because she knew she had daddy wrapped around her fingers. But she always knew that I would give her the guidance that she needed. Now here she is giving me guidance that I need. But we can still be a great influence on children and grandchildren. Unfortunately, not like Lois and Eunice here, a lot of times parents have not given their children the benefit of what they've learned. It's not handed down. That's part of the problem in our country today. We have people who don't know any history about this country, what people have gone through to make it the country it is and the freedoms that we have. It's not that they haven't forgotten it, that they have forgotten it. They weren't taught it by their parents. And now we're in a situation where they want to destroy everything of the past. And that's not good. So Timothy was very fortunate in that he grew up with Christian mother and grandmother. He had that genuine, pure heart that they did. And Paul knew that. That's one of the reasons he took Timothy under his wing to begin with. He had watched him. He knew what kind of person he was. He knew what his testimony was. And that's why he invited him to go with him and begin to partner with him in the ministry. And then our second point is spiritual responsibilities in ministry for Timothy. Paul had watched Timothy in the years that they were together, and he says, I want to give you some more advice here, Timothy. And verse 6 tells us that he wants Timothy to stir up the gift of God. Verse 6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He said, Timothy, you've got a gift. God's given you a gift, the gift of teaching. You need to make sure that you use it. Don't be reluctant to preach and teach the gospel. Don't be reluctant to be bold in your preaching. Don't be reluctant to allow the society to cause you to drift away from the Lord. And don't teach what you're supposed to teach. That's another good lesson for us. Just because we're up in years and we have a lot of experience, God's given each one of us a gift because he has a plan for each one of us. It's hard for a lot of people to believe, but there are numerous verses in the Bible that tells us that God has a plan for each of us. And he gives us a gift. He's not going to give us a responsibility and ask us to do something that he does not prepare us for that responsibility, to be able to use what he wants us to do. I think many times of talking with the guys on Friday nights, they have a lot of questions that we don't normally get as Christians because they've gone through a lot of trauma in their lives and a lot of just bad situations. They need some advice, but they need advice a lot of times on things that we don't think about. This past Friday night, I was talking to one of the guys in my group afterwards, and he said, I think God might be giving me the gift of soul winning. And I said, well, let's take a little closer look at that, okay? That's for everybody. That's not a specific gift. And I took him back and showed him some of the gifts that God gives in the scripture. And he said, well, I'm pretty good at this soul winning stuff. I said, well, that's good. You need to be really good at it. We're all supposed to be. And he said, at first I was reluctant. I said, you know what? I was reluctant too. For quite a while, I wouldn't witness the way I wanted to. My heart wanted to. But I would find at the end of the day, as I would ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, point out to me today the good things and the things that weren't so good that you saw. And one of the things that I was always hear from him was, you passed up opportunities to witness today. And I would have to be honest and say, yes, I did. That was a battle for me to begin with. But we have to learn to discipline ourselves. I use the term train a lot of times. We have to train ourselves to do this. It all comes down to discipline. You know, we have to discipline ourselves to do the things that are right. He knew Timothy had disciplined himself in the things that he knew and the things that he had learned. So he had a great love for Timothy, but he had a lot of confidence in Timothy also. And so he says, Timothy, don't forsake this gift that God's given you, the ability to teach. It's needed. And by all means, don't be reluctant to teach the whole counsel of God. Don't be afraid of it. And then he said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of that witness that we got from Jesus. Use it. Be sure to speak boldly about it. And he said, God hath not given us the fear, given us the spirit of fear. Look back at our verse 7. It says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't be afraid. And I think maybe we sometimes interpret that verse a little bit skewed, a little bit. He said, don't be afraid. Don't fear. There's two kinds of fears that we deal with daily. And fear overall is good. It helps us. If somebody were to walk in here today with a gun and start shooting, I would be looking for a place to hide or a place to go for two reasons. One, because of them, and one, because of all you other people that are carrying this morning. I'd be afraid that you wouldn't know who the good guys and the bad guys are. That kind of fear is good. But you know, the fear I think he's talking about here is being a coward, not speaking up, not speaking boldly about God's word, not standing up. You know, a lot of times we're fearful because of emotion. When I was on active duty in the Army, I was sent to San Diego and then to fly to Subic Bay in the Philippines to pick up some wounded soldiers. I'd never been on an airplane before in my life. So we took off on an old C-130 from Fort Sam Houston right there at San Antonio, and I was pretty nervous, okay? Those aren't comfortable planes, by the way. They don't have AC, and they don't have these nice seats and all that. And I never liked roller coasters in my life, okay? Flying on the C-130 is like flying in a roller coaster because you'll be going along, and if there's bad weather, you'll hit an air pocket, and it'll go whoosh, just like that, and your stomach will still be back up here. So I was apprehensive to begin with. We flew there during the night, got up the next morning, got all our instructions, took off that night for the Philippines. And again, I was petrified. So I finally get some sleep. I wake up the next morning and I look across from me and there's sunlight streaming through the sides of that airplane, through the fuselage. And I said, oh my word, this thing's got holes in it. We are going to crash. So immediate fear. My emotions got the best of me. I jumped up and ran over to the old tech sergeant. And I said, "Sarge, where are the parachutes?" And he looked at me and just laughed. He said, "We don't have parachutes, son." "What do you mean we don't have parachutes?" He said, "You're over the Pacific Ocean." He said, "There's a rubber raft back there if you want to go lay on it." I let my emotions get the best of me. That kind of fear is not good, okay? We don't need to allow ourselves to become emotional in a lot of situations. We need to fear God. We need to fear him because he's awesome. We need to respect him. But we don't need to fear speaking out and being bold in our service for the Lord. And that's what he's telling Timothy here. Don't be ashamed. And he said, well, what's a believer's response here? And this is what I wrote down. Don't be embarrassed of the message of Jesus or of Paul being in prison. He told him, he said, don't be worried about that. I'm in prison. Don't let that bother you. Paul himself embraced hardship for the gospel. It's part of the calling. Okay, we're going to have trials. God said we were. We're going to go through some tough times. But embrace them because of the fact that we know who's in control. We know God either causes situations and trials or he allows them. And he has specific reasons. We don't have time to go into all those. But the Christian life is not supposed to be a bed of roses. Unfortunately, a lot of people are taught that once you get saved, everything's perfect. Everything's fine. Now, we all know that's not the case. There are some tough things that we need to go through. Some tough things that we will go through. But we just need to remember, God's in control. He's our resource. He's our response. Do what we know we're supposed to do. Keep your eyes on the goal that we have set to live for him and become more like him. And then 9 and 10, we'll read those. That's what it's talking about. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know, he didn't call us to do something because who we are or what we've done. He gives us a call to serve him in a certain way because of the purpose and the plan that he has. You know, for years, people look forward to the time when the Messiah had come. And now Jesus has come. He's revealed to everyone what the purpose now is. God had a plan long before we came along, before creation. He knew all this was going to happen. He knew Jesus was going to come. He knew he was going to be our substitute. He knew he was going to pay our sin debt for us. There have been people looking toward the future, but look at the next verse there, verse 10. It says, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now everybody can know who hath abolished death. Now, you say, no, wait, he didn't abolish death. We still have death. Well, that's talking about a physical death. We're all going to die at some point. He's talking about a spiritual death right here. He's abolished spiritual death and had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We have eternal life because of what Jesus Christ did. Now everybody can know the gospel. Everybody can hear the gospel. He's telling Timothy, you need to continue to proclaim the gospel. It's not a secret anymore. The plan has been opened up. It's been made known, been made manifest. And so he said, God, he's the one that saved us. He's the one who's called us to do things. I always like when somebody's explaining how they came to be saved. And they say, well, I did this, I did this, I did. You know what? You didn't choose God. God chose you before the foundation of the world. He already knew who was going to be saved. So it's something that we need not dwell on when it comes time to be the witness, to be bold. And that's what he's telling Timothy here. And he says, your resource is God. All you got to do is give it to him. And Paul here is, in the next verse, in verse 11, he says, I want to tell you about myself here a little bit. He said, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him that day. You know, he says, listen, I'm called by God to be an apostle, a teacher, a preacher to the Gentiles. He said, now I can take that and either proclaim it or I can be ashamed. And he said, Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of what Jesus did. Don't be ashamed of the fact that I'm in prison. It doesn't matter. The gospel is not going to change, and we need to take every opportunity to point it out. I'm going to stop right there because, as normal, I'm not going to finish. So keep your papers. Finish reading the first chapter of Timothy, and we'll cover the last few points of it. Not next week, because remember the announcement. We'll have a combined Sunday school next week, but the week after that, Brother Weaver's going to finish it, okay? Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that Paul was a great mentor to Timothy, but that we also, Lord, can take what he was teaching Timothy, what he was reminding Timothy of, and what he was exhorting Timothy to do, also applies to us. We need to be the best that we can be for you. We need to remember that we have a purpose as a Christian. God has a plan. We need to be about his business of fulfilling that purpose in our lives. Thank you for giving us your word, for giving us the examples we do. Thank you for the Apostle Paul and his personal letters that he wrote to Timothy and Titus. Help us to take everything we can from each of these epistles, apply them to our lives. Lord, that we can be better Christians, we can be stronger, we can be bold in our witness for you. We have nothing to be ashamed of. We have everything to be gained by what you've given us and what you've done for us. So help us not to be weak when it comes to giving the gospel. Give us this weak opportunities to give the gospel, we pray. Lord, thank you for not only your word, but church home where we know we're going to hear your word preached. We ask you to bless our pastor as he speaks to us in the next service. Give him wisdom, give him power from on high as he preaches and teaches. And help us to listen with an open heart and an open mind and then apply what you give to us through him. We'll thank you and praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.